Hey, welcome to our Round Table podcast. This is week three, part three of There's Healing for a Hurried Life. The last few weeks we've been talking about how can we live slower, intentionally, how can we be present, how can we be grateful. And this week we're looking at how to do that practically. What does that actually look like day to day? And what are some of the ways that we can adapt and apply to our own life? I really hope that this speaks to you and encourages you. Enjoy.
One thing literally in this past week that I've discovered, you're probably all super aware of it, is have you heard of Abide? You know the Abide app? Have you ever heard that?
I
mentioned to you the other day.
Yeah.
But I just discovered it this week and it's helped me so much. Like just practically, because I'm not a reader. I struggle to read. I've got to force myself to get through books. But it's just such a cool, handy little app, and they like... It's like meditation, but it's all this. It's all just scriptures, and they like guide you through. Like, take a moment to pause and reflect on this scripture.
So
and I think for me, that's like stirring up a new and a fresh hunger, even for the word.
Mm.
And like, it's reminding me about like, no, I'm starting this day, and I'm grateful, even if I'm tired and out of bounds. But yeah, that's like a really practical thing. This like last week, the Abide app.
I just on that as well. For me, I'm someone who is I love to learn, but to the point where if I'm not learning, I almost, chastise myself and say you need to be learning. Yeah. So I find I'm always got something on, like. If it's a podcast or I'm always need to be reading a book. Mm. And I've discovered an app called Calm.
Mm.
It came up before Abide. And what I don't do any of this stuff on it at all. All I do is I put on the background scenes. If it's raining or if it's nature. Mm-hmm. And I just put that on and just try to like focus and be there and actually be present and remind myself.
Yeah.
And one of the things that myself and Jill just the other day, we were looking through like old photos of when the kids were like, being born and all that kind of stuff. And we were showing some of the boys that was like, and we remember during that time being like wrecked and wishing that we weren't so tired and wishing that it was changed. And now you look back and you go, wow, I wish I was more present.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wish I was more, so it's not to wish it away, but actually like, I want to be more present. I want to seize the day, be here, be focused. How about yourself, Matt?
I'm very good at being present. Well,
fantastic. Let's move on.
except when I'm hungry. But I mean, to my detriment sometimes, Candace can tell you that, like I enjoy being absorbed in things and getting lost in what
focused.
I'm doing, focused. I find great joy in it. It's something I find joy in. But I get absorbed in everything, whatever I'm doing, whatever it is. Even if it's something I don't want to do or something I feel like I'm obligated to do, I will go at it and I will give 110%. And something that I've learned from Candace is how to use my calendar. And I will go from thing to thing to thing, fully absorbed. And I need to make sure that I have space to be rested. Because when I rest, then I'll rest properly. I'll shut everything out. I'll switch off, like I'm gone. So that's something I've had to learn to do. I'm still learning, I'm still really bad at it, but getting there is setting aside that time to switch off and to do that and to be present, not just in what I'm doing for the sake of it because of the value I have, but to be present in something or be present in doing things that I enjoy.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
I think practically speaking, because we're all like sharing practical things, a quote I saw on Instagram this week while I was scrolling, I think Kinsey Pentecost actually posted up. It was by someone called Charles Buxton, and they said, "You'll never find time for anything. If you want time, you make it." And you know all those sayings, oh, the president also has 24 hours in a day, and that's true. They have a very scheduled and calendarized life. But I think, like the Abide app or the Calm app or having conversations or having 30 minutes to yourself just of silence, if those are things that we know help us, then we need to create that for our lives. Like it doesn't happen by itself naturally because there's always going to be something to fill our day. Always. Like there's always more things to juggle. And so I think it's finding out how can I be more mindful? How can I be more present in today? If it's having a conversation, if it's using the app for 5 minutes in the day, I think that's something that's super helpful, is creating that time that you need to help you rest.
That's really good. And this is where the benefits of technology.
Yeah.
Like where it can actually work for us. And I agree with you about the calendar. I heard recently that we have a budget for our money, but we need a budget for our time. And that's what a calendar is.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to schedule it, someone's going to schedule it for you.
Yeah.
Whether
it's
something that, and of course, there's always margins, unexpected things are going to happen all the time.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important. And just a few things I want to touch on and get your opinion on it, even though we don't value your opinion.
It's okay. I can deal with it. I'm used to it.
A few things really has challenged me, okay? So anyone who knows me, these things are probably the opposite of what my natural thing is. And I'm assuming some of you will be the exact same. So first thing is slow and slowing and going slow. For me, it's got to be fast. If if the speed limit's 100, I think I can get 110. you know, if it's going to be 40 minutes to get there, I think I can get there in 35. I'm the classic one who eyes up all the queues in Dunn's to decide which one I'm going to queue at. And I'll walk around with my trolley just to see, okay, which one's quicker, right?
Yeah.
But here's something that really has struck me. And I've probably been learning in this last year, nor I've not mastered it at all, but go slower than you'd like. And going slow, especially, and again, going back to that balance, if you're fast, well, then you got to go slower. If you're someone who's naturally slow, maybe you got to speed it up a little bit. But in terms of coming back to that place of rest, being present, slow. What have you experienced? What are some things that you could?
I think when you talk about queues, that's the best place. Because when I get in a queue, I'll pull up my phone, and then I'll be on it. Or I'll be sitting waiting, like wondering why is this person taking so long shopping out of the trolley? Don't they know I got places to be? And I think I find in queues that something that's really helpful for me, and it shifts something in me. Like it shifts like an attitude. Is just to keep my phone in my pocket. And to like stand there and go, you know what? If I don't get out of this shop within 20 minutes, it's gonna be okay. Like the world's not gonna end. And there's almost something that breaks in you when you do that. When you intentionally go, okay, I'm gonna do something that I'm not used to. I'm gonna be slow. Mm-hmm. There's something that breaks in you that kind of just releases that urge, that drive to go and to rush, right?
Yeah, we go to the shops together. And especially in little, like it's just so rushed at the end. And I'm like, can we just slow down? Like, why are we all in such a rush?
Like, you don't want to make the people behind you wait.
No,
right?
But they need to slow
Matt's
down.
There behind you, waiting on you.
They need to slow down. And that is something, like, it's funny, like, with work stuff, I always feel like I need to have it done yesterday. I feel like pressure, get it done yesterday. But when I'm out, like, getting a coffee, or I don't want to rush, like, run across the road. If it's going orange, if the little man's orange, I'm going to wait for it to go red and wait for the next green one. Like, I think, and that's part of me, like, I want to enjoy every moment. So outside of work, I'm like that. I like to be slow. We walk slowly. All my friends moan and complain because I walk so. I'm always like, Claire, slow down. Because I like to be slow, like, and just enjoy life.
But it's a great thing. Yeah. It's a discipline that we all should learn.
Yeah, and that's my why, though. People. The why behind it is because I want to enjoy it. Yeah. And I don't want it to rush past me. So I try to do it a bit slower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Rosie? I know you're not slow. You like to go fast all the time.
That's my question. I'm the one like, come on, hurry up. I feel like I constantly just have to keep almost teaching and retraining myself to like, no, just calm, just slow, just. But one thing that I've learned, like a long time ago, is like little tricks to help me do that, like the pausing and the. Breathing the air,
breathing.
Like, and I think again back to like this lockdown season, I feel like God has almost like reaffirmed all of that stuff in me. I became a bird watcher during lockdown. So and that's
slowest thing you could possibly do.
Oh, legit. I now go on bird watching excursions with my dad. Not a lie. Not a lie. But we had like birds building a nest on our balcony. But I kid you not, like it taught me how to just. Yeah. Slow down, because I was like determined to find out what these birds were up to, and like, but I had to be slow and like wait and like figure out. Oh no, that was a baby. But I would end up sitting on my balcony, and just like, going slower and little things like that, like learning. But for me, it's always nature stuff that like helps me just slow, like looking at, because I'm you in the queue.
Yeah. Don't go shopping with Rosie. Hey, you know, Sean, something that we've kind of talked about before is that whole idea of stillness.
Right.
Silence and meditation, you know, and I think you're a lot further on than I even am. Yeah, I'm that bad.
You don't know. You don't see me every day.
What have you learned about that? About just like stopping and being still, meditating with the Lord?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I've realized how difficult it is. Something I find myself when I'm reading, or so I try to really set aside time in the morning where I sit down and just spend time in reading and in prayer, is that a lot of the time I can find myself in meditation focusing on the word. Is like, how do I use this to defend the gospel? How do I use this to, you know, change someone's mind? How do I use this passage to, you know, do something for Jesus? And I think that's been something that I've really been noticing about myself over the past while, is like, in meditation, it's about me and the Lord and taking my mind off myself and focusing on God and who He is and His purposes, not on me and myself. And I've really found that in trying to be still in the morning where I'm rushing through my reading, trying to find something where, you know, okay, I can use this to show why baptism should be this way, you know, like going back to the funny thing at the beginning. But, but like, I think, or anything, like you can say that about any argument. I hear someone ask me a question the day before and I find me in my reading going, how can I use this passage in Psalms to explain why that's not true? And I think in my, like, trying to develop that kind of slow pace, is trying to figure out that I don't need to be correcting people all the time, or trying to figure out how I can use it, but that it's that already just being in that place with the Lord is good enough.
Yeah,
and that's what's needed.
That's so cool. And so when we then look at what the Bible actually says about it, in particular what Jesus says about it, you know, about stillness, about slow, about everything, I think the biggest thing that I've kind of learned in this last little kind of season is rest, and then in particular the Sabbath. I think if you asked anyone to, you know, say the Ten Commandments, I think we all forget that the Sabbath and the Lord says to set a day aside for Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. We know murder and all those things, but the Sabbath. And so I've been reading a book called Take the Day Off by Robert Morris. And it really goes into biblically what not only the Old Testament says, but what the New Testament says about it. Jesus even talks about it. And what that looks like in taking a day off. And as he described what it's like to take a day off of rest, I was like, I don't know if I've ever done that before. And I've tried to practice it, and I could say it's not got to do with because I have kids or because I'm so busy or because the house needs to be cleaned all the time or tidied, but it's like I'm in control of my world and I need to order it. And that day of rest should not be productive, and it should be just being and being present. Have you guys experience that? Like, is the Sabbath being something that's completely new? I know you write the book, and in this talks a lot about Sabbath.
So I actually finished that book one Sunday morning. I'm coming to Candace's house to watch church together, and so I came in and I was like, we gotta take a Sabbath. We like, it's in the, like, and that whole thing of, it's the Ten Commandment. I would never think of murdering someone. Like, that's not, you don't do that, right? It's like one of the Ten Commandments. It's one of the fundamental.
Unless you're fast and slow in the queue.
Exactly. But like, it's there. God ordained, you said, take a day off, basically. Whatever that means, there's lots of context behind that. And I was so, my mind was blown. I was like, I had never thought of that. I always thought it was a helpful suggestion. You know, take a day off, it helps you, right? And I came to Canada, so I was like, okay, like, we need to take a day off. We need to start it now. She was like, okay. She's like, she said, you know,
what's out the calendar?
We sketched some days out. She said, so we have one this Saturday coming up. I'll come back to that in a second. But she said, you know, I'm going to need some time to process that, because it's a difficult thing for me to get my head to. And I was like, fair enough. And then this last week, I was thinking about, oh, we've got Saturday coming up. And I was like, oh, we're actually going to do this. We're going to take a day off where we do nothing. And that made me so uncomfortable. And I thought, why am I so uncomfortable with taking a day off? It's not like I have anything I really have to do. I don't have kids. Like there's nothing. I have to take care of myself.
We can provide them.
keep the kids. And it's just that it was a sense of guilt of like, oh man, I can't take a day off. But like, who told me that? Like, where did I pick that up? Nobody has ever told me. No, you. Everyone knows it's good to take a day off. Yeah. And so it's just the craziest thing.
Talk about what that is. So
right.
Switching your phone off, like not being available.
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier on.
Yeah. So I think again, it looks different, and we talked about it. Doesn't mean that we have to sit at home
calmly. In silence.
Right. We can go. In the book, he talks about, he's like, you need to extend your definition of Sabbath.
Yeah.
Maybe it means having a long dinner with a friend. I read that, and I was like, oh, that's good. I could do that, right? Mm-hmm. And it's about doing things that give you rest. And so one of the things we're going to do is we're going to go to Kildare Village. We're getting married. I need a suit. Yeah, no, well, right. We're going to go try on a suit, but we're not going to go crazy, run around the stores, and million things to do. We have one thing the day that we're going to do.
It.
And I'll enjoy it, and she'll enjoy it.
Yep.
And we're going to go and do that in the morning. We'll take it slowly. Evening, we don't know what we'll do.
Yeah.
But we set out a day where we don't have to do anything.
That's good.
We're going to do
that's
what we want. And we'll learn and figure things out as it goes. And we schedule in the calendar. We're not going to go at it straight away. But in one sense, I'm like, can we actually do that? Can we maintain that? And the other sense, I'm like, I really want to do that. I really want to maintain it. And even this week, you said it yesterday. You're like, I'm looking forward to Saturday. And this morning, I was like, wow, I'm looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah. It changes your whole week.
Yes, it does. knowing that you have space at the end, you're like, oh yeah, I can get through the next few days. It's fine because I have something, I have rest coming up.
Right? Yeah.
It's a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, so we put this in the calendar. We're like, okay, we're going to take a Sabbath on this Saturday. And again, read the book, research it, and maybe you can share with us a little bit of more about what he talks about a Sabbath, because I think it looks different for everyone. But I think, so what happened was we scheduled it in, and then something came up that we had to do. It's very important, right? We have to do this. We're like, we'll just do it on Saturday. And then I said, no, like, but we put a Sabbath in. But then I was like, no, but we have to do this. And I was like, this is the tricky thing. There's always going to be something we have to do.
Something urgent.
Yeah. But a Sabbath's not just urgent. It's important for our health. It's important for our well-being. And so right now, the important needs to trump the urgent. And we need to just say no to that. We need to say, we're not going to do that on Saturday. Let's fit that into our week. Let's protect our Sabbath. Because I think if that's something that God said, hey, I want you to do this. This is good for you. This is essential for humanity. Yeah. It's not just a little suggestion. This is something that's important for you to be a healthy human being. Then we have to do everything we can to protect it and to have boundaries around it. Whatever that day might look like, maybe for some people it's a morning, you know, whatever Sabbath looks like for you, but protect that time. And so we said, no, we're not going to do that urgent thing. We're going to protect our day together. But it is difficult, even thinking about it. I'm like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? Not going on Instagram all day. How am I going to survive the day? No, but it's good. Like, I think it's going to be so good for my soul and for my mind just to empty itself a little bit, empty my mind of all the things it's thinking about.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to do an entire podcast and talk about it for an entire series on Sabbath. But for anyone who's like, well, that's Old Testament, you know, that's legalism or that's religiosity. Jesus said, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Yeah.
And here's what he doesn't say. Come and do.
Yeah.
Come and start doing something completely new. Come and be busy.
Yeah.
He says, come and be. In order to be, you have to stop doing.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, stop doing so you can be full. You can be filled. And one of the things that really kind of has been opened up to me is the next few verses. And I think we can often run over them because we don't quite understand it. But he says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so when you look at the language of this yoke, each rabbi had a yoke. It was their interpretation of the law, and it was the way in which you should live your life. And Jesus is saying, I do have a yoke. It's not like, you know, do what you want.
Yeah.
It's follow me, follow my way. It's easier, it's less burdensome. And in the way of Jesus includes rest and Sabbath and silence and being present and solitude and meditation. And these are all things that have been, like, in all honesty, have been complete foreign to me.
Yeah.
Like, leadership, organization, you know, how to accomplish something and achieve it. Like, I'm there all day. I'll read those books. How to not do any of those things? It's like, it's foreign to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think this is something that I'm being challenged in. I think that we need to be challenged as a community. So I'll ask you this question. How can we lead the way in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we started with five people or anyone else who's watching, go, you know what? I'm going to come and be, not just come and do. I'm going to follow Jesus and his yoke and his way. How do we do that? Rosie, give us the answer.
Okay. So, I think when I was reading that scripture as we were preparing, and I think it's the Message version. Am I allowed to use the Message? No, but the language that is used, it talks about learn the unforced rhythms of grace, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that even got me thinking, and in answer to that question, it's learning new rhythms, like learning new rhythms of grace, learning new rhythms of rest, because we can all walk out this door later on and like we say all these things and we know them to be true, but we actually just go back to the hustle and bustle madness, pulling our hair out every day. But I think it's things like Sabbath. It's things like getting a rhythm with those things and deciding, like you guys have recently done, like, no, we're doing this and we're going to, but I'm knowing it's a fight. Like, you have to fight for that Sabbath. You've got to, things are going to crop up again and again. But, I think how can we, what was the question?
As a community, how can we
I think
by example.
Personally, the first thing that comes to my mind is knowing your priorities, like deciding and setting and knowing your priorities. Is that a Sabbath in this season? We need to establish Sabbath. Is that a reordering of your work schedule, that that's not your God? Is that, you know, I'm so unhealthy, I need to get fit and get my cholesterol down? Is it health? Like, you deciding, and or you and your partner, you and your family deciding, what are our priorities? And figuring out how you can rhythm that
that's
into
so
your
good.
Life.
That's
and constantly revisiting it.
Rebalancing
it. It's going to be a fight. But, it's like
something that came to me just now. When we were doing church in person still, we'd come in early in the morning.
I don't remember what that was like.
What are you talking about?
It's coming back soon. Excited. But when we were setting up in the Clayton Hotel in Dublin, right, it was a long day. Brian knows. And we would get to the end of the second service, and my mind was like, let's pack down and go home. I'm hungry. And something that I thought was, you know what? I don't need to do that. I don't need to rush out. I can take the time to stop and talk to people. And because that's like, That is the most beautiful thing about church. That's what people miss, is talking to each other. It's the community. And like, it's too easy to go, okay, cool. And it's not bad. We're not doing it for a bad reason. But like, church on Sundays and this particular way we do things can be like, okay, we're doing. Now we have to pack down. We have to go home. And there's a lot of doing. And I need to stop and like talk to people and not be like concerned about where things are going to be packed away. Because we'll do that eventually. You know? I think that's something that I can definitely do, and maybe other people too.
I think a big thing... tagging on to Rosie about your priorities and how to be people who learn to rest better. I think a big thing, and it can be like a swear word, is boundaries. I think boundaries are just so essential, and being someone who is boundaried. Imagine if the homes had no boundaries and everyone's homes just flowed into one another. It would be crazy. It would be mayhem. There would be stuff everywhere. But like, we have boundaries for a reason, and boundaries create safety. They create room to flourish. And so I think as people, we need to learn how to be a little bit more boundaried with our lives, so that we can protect our Sabbath, so that we can protect our priorities, so that we can be healthy people and actually follow the commandments that Jesus has set out for us. And I think we find that hard. And even in the church world, we find boundaries hard, because that means I may actually have to say no to someone. I may have to say, I can't do that. And what does that mean about me? What does that make me look like? And, you know, being a boundary person means you may not reply to someone's text at 11:30 at night asking you to do something about something. Like, what's that going to look like? And that may make life look so different. But then, one, me being boundaried. But two, if you're trying to be boundaried, me actually respecting your boundaries. And respect, if you say no to me, you know what? That's okay. Like, I support you because you're trying to be a healthy human being, and you're trying to follow God as best as you know how. So I think deciding for yourself what are priorities, yeah. and then creating boundaries around those, and then respecting someone else's boundaries, I think, yeah. is a big way for us as a community to lead the charge in this, is create those boundaries, healthy ones. Mm. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Sean, what were you saying?
Yeah, I love the passage that you sent out to us. I thought it was so just, it really encompassed the whole thing about hurrying and that idea of my yoke is easy, burden is light, as Jesus says. And as I was thinking about the Sabbath, it's amazing how Jesus comes in and really kind of totally changes up the whole idea of Sabbath, why we do Sabbath in the first place. As you're saying, it's not for salvation, it's a response to who we are in Christ and the fact that we are saved in Him first. We don't do Sabbath so that we can get into a relationship with God. And a verse came to my mind from John 10:28. If it's okay if I read it, it says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Mm. And that's Jesus talking with the analogy of His sheep, and that He's the shepherd and He'll never lose one of His sheep, and that the Father has given them His sheep and He'll never lose them. And I love that kind of, how that really grounds us in who we are and how that kind of helps us to lead the way when it comes to how are we secure? Like, what gives us security? Because I think a lot of, for me, when it comes to hurry, is down to, you know, I'm doing this to kind of show that I'm a good person, or that I've got everything in control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that what Jesus says, like, I give them eternal life. Mm. And that's just such a huge thing that I think when we really enter into that space with Jesus, that it helps us to live really radically, in the sense of, like, what we were all talking about, is that we can say, okay, like, it's okay to say no. Like, you don't need to prove yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think there's just a freedom there to, like, trust who we are in Jesus. I think that's kind of, for me anyway, that's been the big thing.
Like, when you know whose you are, like, that you belong to God, you're His first, you don't have to prove yourself to everyone. Yeah. And that actually gives you permission to say no.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
To things that you should be saying no to. That gives you permission to create the life that you believe Jesus has called you to live. And I think it gives you a security. It gives you that sense of, I'm secure. I don't need to prove myself or make people look at me a certain way. I think it gives you that confidence that you need.
And just to jump onto what you're saying about saying no, because that can be, as a Christian, I can feel so like, well, if I say no, it means I'm not caring, right? It's bad. It means like I'm a bad Christian, I don't care about others, I'm selfish. And a conversation we had once was, I was like, you know, just doing, I wasn't taking that time to rest. And I was like, well, I can't rest because I just need to do things for other people. And Candace said, she looked at me, she said, if you do that and you don't rest, you're going to damage me. Like, right? You're going to damage this relationship because you're not whole and healthy. And so saying no doesn't mean not caring. It means actually caring about what you do, and that making sure that you are equipped to handle it, and that you are at your full strength, and that, you know, when you walk into church on Sunday, you're not getting snappy at people because you are rested. And then you can, when you do give yourself to people, you're giving a whole healthy version of yourself, right? I think that's so important.
That's powerful.
That's good. Was saying no to someone saying yes to something else.
Yeah.
The same as saying yes to someone is actually saying no to someone else.
Yeah.
Well, look, thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it. Hope it's encouraged you and the conversation has challenged you. And I hope that you hear, we do not have it sorted.
No.
But yet we're prepared learning. To learn and to grow and to change. And so, hope it really helped you. Remember, part one, you can find it before this, obviously, because this is part two. And remember, there's healing for a hurried life. So what we're saying, there is another way.
Yeah,
there's a different way. And actually, the way is well over 2,000 years old. It's found on the way of Jesus. So let's follow His way, all right?
Yeah.
Enjoy. Have a great week. And we'll see you next week.
So as we finish this podcast series, There's Healing for a Hurried Life, what about your own life? Where are you going to schedule rest? What does rest look like for you? What does a day of rest, the Sabbath, look like within your schedule, within your rhythms, regardless of the responsibilities that you have or the workload that you have? Well, I do believe that God calls us to take a day to the Lord, for the Lord, to rest in Him, to not be productive, to be refilled, refreshed for the rest of our week. Hey, next week, we have a really special guest. His name is Andy Gamble. I sat down with Andy and we were able to have a great conversation and hearing what it's like to be a man, a husband, a father, a pastor and church planter in Derry in Northern Ireland and what it's been like for these last 6 months. He's got a great story. I know that it's going to bless you. It's going to encourage you. Next Sunday, 8:00. Can't wait to see you there.